Well, welcome to 2025. Welcome to Prayer of Faith. Man, a new year, new opportunities, church. Man, those last 12 months are gone. We got a whole year ahead of us. What are you going to do with it? Man, I don't know. Everything we talked about last week a little bit, everything we do is a choice, isn't it? Whether we do or don't do something, it is a choice to do it or not do it. And I thought, man, in the new year, we've got to decide and make choices. What do I want to start doing? What do I want to continue doing? What do I want to stop doing and discontinue? And again, stopping and discontinuing does not mean it's bad. It just may mean it's time for you to let it go. I'm too busy. I can no longer do this. Okay, it doesn't mean it's bad to give something up or to set it aside or to give it a season without you. Man, this upcoming year, my prayer for us is to be drawn closer to God. For all of us to be drawn closer to God, closer to God's Word, closer to His likeness. Closer to His likeness. Closer to each other. And more committed to Him and His Word and each other. And more committed to prayer of faith. And that's a lot of ask, Pastor Adam. I know it is. But that is my prayer for 2025 for prayer of faith. Let's bow our heads and pray as we go into the new year. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this new year. We thank You for new beginnings. God, we look forward to new challenges that You give us because they are new opportunities for us to grow, to be examples of Your light and Your love, Your patience, all those things reflected to us and through us and reflected by us. God, I pray today that You give us the power and the strength and the boldness to do this for a dark and lost world. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to go out on a limb this morning, and I'm going to give this a shot. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. Worked. Oh my God. Oh, praise God. Remember last week we talked about that and we said, holy cow. Some versions say we will rejoice. It was an affirmative, almost a declaration. We will do this. Other versions say simply rejoice. It was a directive. Just do it. And other versions said, let us rejoice. Almost an invitation. Come join us as we rejoice. Let me ask you, did that not feel good this morning? Man, it feels good sometimes, even if we have to fake it. But it sets the stage for what we believe. We have a choice. Man, we will rejoice and be glad in it. I am so thankful for the new year. And there was nothing wrong with the old year. I'm just thankful for new opportunities. The days just keep going on. We just choose to put a time that says, hey, this starts a brand new year, a brand new cycle. Anyone ever get caught in a cycle and think, man, I wish this cycle would end? Well, sometimes that's what the new year does for us. It allows us to reset a cycle maybe we didn't like being in. I wanted to start out with a message about tomorrow. And my message today is living today for tomorrow. And it really is talking about our spiritual life and our walk with Christ. And tomorrow really is our future in heaven. Adam, I don't plan on being up there for another 60, 70, 80, 90 years. Why worry about it today? Now, God's Word in Matthew says, don't worry about tomorrow's troubles. Today has enough. So we don't want to worry about tomorrow, but we do want to live our life today for whenever God calls us home. And we never know when that time is, do we? Living today for tomorrow. Now turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4 in the New Testament. There'll be a few books after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Keep going a few more after that. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And it's to help get us focused on a godly life. I'm not talking about a life that says I go to church every week. I'm talking about living a godly life. You know, Tisha, today and yesterday, I don't know if you've been listening to her, and I hope you were because she's up here preaching. And man, it's good stuff. She's talking about declaring things. And she's talking about the new year and what God's promises are. Last week, I was just going to let her do the whole message. I just thought, nah, whew, I'm going to sit back. It's getting exciting, church. It's getting exciting. You know, our good friend and brother, who's no longer with us, Dwayne, used to talk about when we get together and we're all bouncing energy off each other and it builds that energy. Church, when we get together and we declare things like, this is the day which the Lord has made, we will. And you guys shout out, rejoice and be glad in it. It's that energy that starts building. I thought, oh, that sounded so good. That made me feel good. Oh, my goodness. If every person was here that says they belong to this church, man, how great this would look today. It still looks good with all you beautiful people here. I'm not saying it doesn't. I'm just saying that those things build energy and they build excitement and it builds momentum. And we are building momentum. I'm excited about what God is doing. More than 24. I have it more than 25. It just doesn't rhyme, but you can still have more than 25. But we've got to focus on living a godly life. That's simple and hard. Someone's horn is going off in the parking lot. Someone's alarm. I hope someone's checking on it. Anyway, it's simple and hard. It just depends on how you look at it and how you want to break it down. So 2 Timothy chapter 4, if we read verse 6 and 8, it says, "For I am already," that means it's happening as I speak, "I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." Paul knows that he's nearing the end. And he says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." And then he says, "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Man, I love that. He says, it's a race. I have fought the good fight. And he says, I have finished my race. But I love that next phrase. I have kept the faith. Paul went through a lot. My goodness, Tisha was talking about it this morning. He was in prison. The guard knew what that meant. And as she said, he said, "Wait a minute, we're all still here. All in our places with bright, smiling faces. We're here." No matter what he went through, he was in prison, in chains. He says, "I have kept the faith." I don't want us to focus on where we lost the faith and when we didn't show it strong. But I do want us to think, when have you kept it? And what has allowed you to keep that faith? Why do I want you to focus on that? Because that can be help for others that are struggling. I've kept the faith. And he says, because of that, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. But he says, it's not just for me only. It's all who have loved his appearing. Day in and day out, through all the junk life threw him, and through all the junk life throws us. He says, I, Paul, have kept the faith. Now, sometimes I say, life has thrown a bunch of junk at us. Look carefully. I tossed that out with all the other junky stuff. That was a blessing you threw out. You just didn't recognize it. Why? Because your focus is not on the right stuff. Your lens or your filter was clogged or it was dirty. And in the midst of getting rid of stuff, you accidentally removed a blessing. And you threw it out with the good stuff. Or you didn't know where you put it. I told you a week or so ago, you ever find money, an old pair of pants or jacket or purse or whatever, or wallet, that you thought you didn't have anything in? I told you the story of Sydney finding money that we took on vacation. Oh, you had a secret hiding place I didn't know about. Apparently, she didn't know about it either. She forgot. But as she was checking and moving things, she's like, oh, I found this. That's great. We have to be able to recognize and identify God when He is working in our life. Amen? We have to recognize when God is working in our life. Amen? And we have to recognize those blessings. But so many times we miss them. Oh, I've got this, this, this. Oh my gosh, you have a family? How wonderful. Yeah, but my kids. Yeah, but my parents. But you have a family? I have nothing. Oh, my stupid car this morning. Oh my gosh, it took $80 to fill it up. Oh my gosh, you have a car? And you have money to put gas in it? The things we spend time complaining about. Well, let's just go back into that. The amount of time we spend complaining about things, church. I didn't get into that last week, but it was in right before and after some of the scriptures I used. Do without grumbling and complaining. Oh my gosh, there's 24 hours a day in my life. What about yours? Then how much time are you going to spend complaining? Man, I'd rather praise God for the things that I have. I saw a neat little idea. It said, take this bowl and fill it with God's blessings every day, once a day. And at the end of the year, go back and read and said, what did God bless you with? Ground zero, we used to start off with good news. Why? Because we can focus on all the bad things and all the stuff we don't have. And I want us to focus on what is a blessing. What is a blessing? Let's start that way. Now, Paul here says, I've run the race. I've kept the faith. By the way, He has laid up for me a crown of righteousness, but it's not just for me, but for all who have loved His appearing. Now flip over just a few pages to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And it's another race scenario that we're familiar with, or we should be familiar with. Verse 1 and 2. And it says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and every sin which easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance. Let us run with endurance, church, the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, I don't know why, but David and Christian Evensen run cross country. I don't know who would do that. My twin brother did that, and just how painful it is to me to watch that stuff. But it says, and this is what they've tapped into, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And I went and watched him in a race one time. I watched David. And everybody starts out pretty fresh looking. Mama, don't they start out fresh looking? Everybody's ready to go. And then they start running. And they took off and went out a distance, came back around. And when they come back, it's not that same fresh person. But what it is people that ran with endurance and finished the race. There also is a crown for them, but not just for them. Now, I've mentioned it before. Here and at Ground Zero, when I've done messages talking about different races, we're not all running the same race. I assure you, David and Christian, you won't see me out on that same track running your same race. It's not going to happen. I've run a 5K, I've run a 10K, and I ran it with endurance. It wasn't pretty. Okay, but God says, man, are you faithful? Are you faithful when you do it? And I've read different articles on, you know, how to glide and stride. And it didn't matter. I was plop, 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 plop. Man, my concrete shoes were just slamming on the ground. It was bad. But God says, man, can you get through it? Are you an overcomer? And right before that, in chapter 11 of Hebrews, it says, by faith they overcame. It got so bad when we were running our family relay. My daughter, I know she came looking for me, because all of a sudden she shows up on the track and there I am and she's already run her leg. And I said, you thought I dropped out, didn't you? She said, not really. I said, you didn't think I was going to make it, did you? No, not really. And that's okay. She came to check on me. Church, that's another valuable lesson. When we're struggling in our race, did you go help somebody? We've all seen those heartbreaking videos of people in track and their legs give out. And the brother or the sister or the competitor or the teammate picks them up and helps them get to the finish line. Or the one where the father went down on the track and the son was sobbing because he wasn't able to finish the race. And he injured his leg. And he's hobbling along. And the father came down. And he picked him up. And people were trying to stop him. He's like, get away from me. This is my son. And he helped him get across the finish line. Our Father in heaven says, I'm here to help you no matter what. But church, let's be there for one another. Amen. Let's be there for one another so we can help them. Live your life today for a future tomorrow in heaven. The race is our daily journey. Every day we have to get up and say, God, today I'm going to run this leg of the race with endurance. By faith they overcame. By the cross we overcame because He overcame the grave. This isn't about church. This isn't about religion. It's about our faith, our belief system, and our life. Our life must line up with this, or it really doesn't matter. I can quote all this. It doesn't matter if my life does not line up with this. By faith they overcame the race of faith. They ran with endurance. And they finished the race. The race, as I said, our daily journey. When we talk about our clothing, it's often used as a metaphor, if you will, to describe our spiritual lives. Now, I'm not talking about, in the Bible when they say, hey, you're just worried about the outward appearance that I appear holy and those things. I'm talking about our clothing representing our spiritual lives, saying, uh-oh, this old ragged thing, that's the old man. Let me take it off and I'll put on this clean new man. And when I do that, guess what I'm not going to do in this suit today? Roll around in the dirt. Play on the playground, not in this thing. Parents, when you have kids, you're not going to go play in that, little Jimmy. No. Go change your clothes, then you go out and play in the yard. Little Aurora came over one day. She's playing out in the front yard, and the first thing she did was whoop, stumble, fell in her little white tights, and there's nothing but mud all over those things. Like, uh-oh, Mom's going to be upset. Okay, let's change. If this is our spiritual life, church, we better protect it. I better make sure I keep it clean. Okay, and if I'm going in a dark place, I better make sure that my footing is secure and sure. But I'm taking my light in a dark place. Make sure that footing's secure. You're going to trip, stumble, fumble, and fall all over, and you're going to have dirt all over your spiritual life. We have to protect our clothing. And again, I'm not talking about looking spiritual and holy. I don't mean that. I'm talking about our spiritual life. We have to protect it. We have to shield it. We have to make sure that when all this dust is blowing around, but at times somebody else may be in the center, and it may be that I have to shield them and protect them and their spiritual clothing, if you will. I know I can go wash mine. I can cleanse it. I can clean this through repentance. I can clean this through forgiveness. But every now and then, I do have to protect others that may not be able to do that. Uh-oh. That's the only outfit they have. And I know they may not have the means to wash that and clean it. They may not know how or whatever, so I've got to protect them. Clean it as needed. Hang with care and protect it. I'm going to leave us with a list of things today to help us live life today for a future tomorrow in heaven. Got pen and paper ready? I'm going to give you a list of, it looks like 11 different things. 11, yeah. The first 8 things are just things to do to help us focus. Love God. Simple, right? Yes, if we can remember to do that. Love God, but do it wholeheartedly, not haphazardly. Number 2, follow the teachings of Jesus. He says, by this they will know you are my disciples. Follow the teachings of Jesus, number 2. Number 3, here's the easy one. Live a righteous life. My mistake, that's the hard one. Live a righteous life, that means your moral choices, sin, personal holiness. Live a righteous life. Number 4, we talked about this a little bit last week as well. Serve others. Find a way to serve others. Go out of your way. Yes, it takes time, sometimes effort, sometimes money. Go out of your way to serve others. Number five, pray. Not haphazardly, not just in times of difficulty, but be intentional with your prayer life. Build a prayer life. That's number five, pray. Number six, read and study the Bible. Church, that's our instruction manual. If we're not reading that, and reading to understand and to learn and to grow. Reading just to get done and say, okay, I did it. I read it. What'd you read? I don't know. Nobody cares. Read and study it to have personal growth, to learn and grow. Number seven, be thankful. Church, be thankful. Let's not focus on the negative. Focus on the positive. God, what can I be thankful for today? Number eight. This is important. Share your faith with others. And by the way, when you share your faith with others, that's a great opportunity to say, this isn't reserved just for me. Just as Paul said, by the way, it's not just for me. It's for all of those. All of those. When you share your faith, man, this life isn't just for me. You too can have it. You can have a better life. You can have more blessings than you can imagine. Okay, those were the eight things. And then I'm going to give you three tips. A little bit different, but three tips to help you. Don't neglect your earthly responsibilities. I'll forget my earthly responsibilities. I'm working on life with God. Don't neglect your earthly responsibilities. Number two, maintain a balanced perspective. Maintain a balanced perspective. And number three, seek community. Church community is so important in building you up, in building others up, in helping you maintain balance and perspective, in helping you through things. Join us Wednesday evenings for community, for growth opportunity, for Bible discussion and Bible study. With all this, our focus today on heaven tomorrow will motivate us to live a godly and a pure life. Amen? Church, let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the new year. God, we thank you for the blessings that you have given us in 2024. We look forward to and give thanks for the blessings in 2025 that lie ahead of us that we can't even see right now. But God, I know you're at work. God, I pray today that we seek you and we seek a life that is godly. Not just church attendance, but a godly life. A life that says, let me serve. Let me give. Let me pray. God, let me experience community with other believers. So we can encourage one another. We can strengthen one another. But God, it also gives me opportunity to learn from others who may have had struggles. It may be opportunities for me to learn how to take my faith outside the four walls of a church. God, help us to share our faith this new year. Help us to come alive in 25. Share our faith. Help others that are lost and in a dark world. God, help us to be in a prayer life. Help us to be light and salt. Help guide our actions and our words that we speak to those we know and don't know. Help guide our actions when we're with others and when we're with no one. Help draw us closer to you and your likeness. In Jesus' name, amen.